listening to the second hour of the program. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll free. 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll free line tonight. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We continue by taking your phone calls about anything. We go to Brent in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Brent.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, Brent?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys were aware of this Senate Bill 2099.
Apparently
requires you to put on your 2009 1040 every gun that you own, and it may require fingerprints and a $50 tax per firearm.
Wow. Well, considering I won't be filling out any sort of IRS tax forms, I guess I won't be obeying that particular legislation.
Fantastic.
So wait, this
well,
hasn't passed yet.
Every 24th, I just thought you guys should be aware of it.
Wait a minute. What? The 24th? What?
Well, it was introduced on February 24th, and I guess it's an amendment to the Internal Revenue Act of 1986, and it's going through the Finance Committee. So it actually won't be voted on by the Senate.
So if it won't be voted on, can it become the law? I'm confused.
Yes, it can be passed through the Finance Committee without going through a Senate here.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow, that's brilliant. All right, so basically you believe this is probably going to come to fruition?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to do my best to stop it.
Where did you hear about this bill?
I heard about it from a friend who emailed it. You can find it on www.senate.gov. You just search for Senate Bill 2099.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the heads up on that, Brent. Anything else you wanted to share?
No, that's it. Thanks for everything you guys are doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the call. 800-259-9231.
About.com has this listed, or I'm sorry. Yeah, About.com has this listed as urban legend.
It's a hoax, huh?
Yeah. They say it's been circulating since September of 2000, and no such bill was introduced in 2009.
Interesting. I wonder if what he said was true about them being able to just pass some new rule without having to go through the Senate.
I don't know. It says Senate Bill 2099 does exist,
but
the legislation has little in common with the description that's commonly given, which is a plan to tax guns for handguns.
That's not to say that they couldn't do something like that into the future.
They very easily could.
Should they be interested in such a thing? And I'm glad you checked on that, Nick. Thank you for doing that.
Okay. I like to fact check, and I encourage other people to do it because it didn't surprise me that something like this might actually be proposed. But
sure,
sometimes when I hear these, the stories about these draconian pieces of legislation that I've never heard before, sometimes I wonder how much of it is true and how much is rumor.
Well, good nose.
Good nose?
Nose.
1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. The best nose would be, of course, if we found out that some state was seceding from the United States. Unfortunately, we're not quite there yet, but Mark, you've got an email to that end.
Well,
is that right?
Yeah, to some extent. It's from Kevin. It says, I've got a question that I've been meaning to call up and ask, but I never seem to have the time, minutes, or desire all at the same time. You profess to be a minarchist, and I believe in the existence of some form of government, and I know you also want roads, cops, and courts to be handled by that, but let defense to be done by militias. My questions are, what rights, in your eyes, does a minarchist government have to call forth the militia? And I'm not asking to prove anarchy, but because I seriously don't understand a point you make over and over about secession. You say, whenever secession is brought up, don't fire on a military base. However, in the event...
Because that's what happened in the Civil War, right?
Right. They fired on Fort Sumter and...
The South did.
Yeah, the South did. And many say that it was... it was instigated. Lincoln sent an armed supply ship, and it looked like they were going to stay there forever, and we wanted them to leave. So, for whatever reason, they fired on Fort Sumter. Somebody fired on Fort Sumter.
All right. I just realized that I was engaging in collectivism by calling them the South,
right,
as though the individuals who fired on Fort Sumter had anything to do with people that were in Alabama at the time.
And this is something that concerns me, is if the government wants to get fired on, they will get fired on.
They can find someone to go and be an agent provocateur,
right,
and fire on them.
Yeah.
Well, in an isolated, I mean, this was pretty open. I mean, it was,
yep,
the South Carolina militia was just ordered to fire on the fort. So,
yes.
you know, there's no denying that this was, that, you know, members of the Confederacy doing it of their own free will, and it was a very bad idea.
Yeah. I mean,
in retrospect, I mean, at the time, I can see how they would, you know, make the argument, and I'm not saying it was even necessarily a bad one, that we're an independent country now, these are foreign troops, you know, that should be our fort. But in retrospect, it would have been better to let the federal forces fire first, because then you're defending yourself.
They would have been far better off if just, you know, ignoring those folks out there in that island on Fort Sumter and letting them go about their business there and not being egged on and instigated by, you know, supply ships or anything like that. Just saying, you know, editorials to the newspapers and, you know, perhaps writers and other newspapers will pick it up, you know, farther north, and people would say, you know, those people do have the right, you know, and to stop, of course, paying taxes to the federal government, just acting like free people and you know, that their state has seceded, and they would have been far better off than
absolutely
they had. So Kevin goes on.
We can learn from their mistakes.
However, in the event of secession, it's no longer a military base. It's an installation for a foreign occupation. I understand that on the first day it would be stupid, but what about a year later? If the U.S. Marines are stationed permanently in the Republic of New Hampshire in your ideal system, wouldn't a foreign invasion be a legitimate act to call forth the militia and use force to repel the invaders? Wouldn't such a military installation be such an invasion?
Good question.
Well, it is a good question, and there's the perfect example lying just 90 miles off the coast of Key West. Cuba. On Cuba is a United States military base, Guantanamo, and, you know, prior to Castro taking power, somehow it was there. I don't know what the specifics are of the base, but Castro don't like no Guantanamo, and neither was his brother Raul.
Mm-hmm.
They would really like that base to be off their island, and if one can make a legitimate claim, it would seem to me that Cuba can do it. The whole island's ours, except this little tip over here on the end.
Yeah.
And the world's largest military power won't give it back. Well, it's been there for 50 years now. Castro took over in 63, so going on 50 years. And
it hasn't been the base of an invasion of Cuba.
Right.
They've been there.
Right. They haven't. Well, nor was Fort Sumter.
There's been the United States has military bases in many, many countries around the world. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I don't think Cuba is the only example where a government regime has flipped over and supposedly it's a new country or a new government. They put up a new flag and the base is still there. So the fact that a foreign power has a military base in that country, it's not necessarily an act of war. I mean, it would be stupid in the example that he's giving for people to try to, you know, if a state secedes, to try to kick U.S. military off of a base that already existed. I can understand why they might want to.
I understand it, too, but as long as the troops aren't going around the surrounding area kidnapping children and murdering people and causing general havoc.
That would be basically an invasion.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If they're menacing you.
Right. If they're going to the bars and drinking your alcohol, then
that's
whatever.
Not happening either in Guantanamo.
Right.
They're not leaving the base in Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is it's legitimate from the point of view of a state. It was legitimate for South Carolina to fire on Fort Sumter. It was also ill-advised.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't work out, and I'm only giving practical advice, not advice on, you know, what's legitimate and what's not. I think that people need to be far slower to go for their guns because, you know, the fact is the government is better at it. In the case of the South, the North was better equipped, and I've heard people make the argument that even if England got in on the side of the South, which was a possibility, that they still would have lost. So
now that's a point for debate, and that's history.
Yes.
But I would point out that once you pull out guns, you really can't put them away until
it's over.
It's over. Either the losing side is either going to be probably sent to jail or shot, whether they lay down their guns or not. So it's not advised unless you think you're going to win or you're really fed up and you're ready to go.
The rich ones on the losing side are liable to be scolded terribly. And the poor ones are liable to be shot and buried in graves and, honored on Memorial Day.
Toll free number is 800-259-9231. There's more to this email, right?
No, that's pretty much it.
1-800-259-9231. Got a related question in my email box. We'll get to that. Take your calls about whatever's on your mind. Toll free 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. And that's why we call the show Free Talk Live. If you're brand new to the program, we mean it. Go ahead and give us a shot. 800-259-9231.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. On your feet! I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the U.S. military, reserves, or National Guard, you have special rights and privileges earned through your service to your country, including special VA loan programs not available to the general public. You could purchase a new home with no down payment, or refi your home up to 100% of your home's equity. You've earned these benefits through your dedication and service. iFreedom Direct, a direct VA lender, can help you discover whether you and your property qualify. Get the details at varadio.com. That's varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com. VARadio.com.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from Pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 16, 2009. Gold opened this morning at 93810. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 96502, 482.51 for the half ounce, and 241.26 for a quarter ounce. That's 96502, 482.51, and 241.26.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes and servicing debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll free line. And joining you tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. And the features include the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com. See it for yourself. That's shrine. www.freetalklive.com. We were talking about secession a few moments ago. Got a little bit more about that. And we'll get to your calls first, though. It's Steve in Toronto. You're on Free Talk Live. Steve.
Hi, guys. I hope you're all doing well tonight.
Steve, what's on your mind?
I'm calling to talk about traffic court injustice in general. I had called, actually, I spoke to you guys a couple of months ago about a traffic court experience I had had in Toronto, which was just totally ludicrous. And I decided to follow up, and as part of the recap, what I did was I ended up emailing the supervising prosecutor, they're very brief. If you don't mind my reading them, if you do, I can try to summarize, but they're pretty short anyway.
Okay. So, and is this going to bring our listeners up to speed with what happened?
Sure will.
Okay, go ahead.
So I wrote, "Dear so and so, almost 14 months ago, I was issued a traffic ticket for disobeying a stop sign. Since I'm 100% certain that I did not commit this offense, I decided to contest the ticket. A scheduled court date was set for me to appear at Old City Hall on Monday, March 9th. On this date, I arrived at 8:30 a.m., just as the court requested. I waited in the courtroom for almost 3.5 hours. Eventually, I was the only person left in the courtroom, with the exception of the judge, stenographer, prosecutor, and police officer, and thus the case against me, so I thought, was going to be the last for the morning. Mm-hmm. I was fully prepared to defend myself. They called my name at 11:55 a.m., and I proceeded towards the judge's area with my defense documents. He looked at his watch and proclaimed, it's getting late. We need to break for lunch. Immediately, before I could respond, the prosecutor tried to rebook the court date for August 27th, almost a six-month delay.
Wow.
Despite my protest that this was unfair, that I missed work for the entire morning, that I was diligent in causing the court no delays at all, and that this charge should be dismissed to avoid me the unnecessary inconvenience of having to return to court, I was ignored, and a new court date was registered for August 27th.
You will jump through as many hoops as we decide to put up.
That's right. And I wrote on saying, since I cannot afford to miss another half day of work, and since this rescheduling is through no fault of my own, I ask that your office please do the ethical thing here and dismiss the charge rather than
That's clever. That is clever. I'm sorry. Go on.
I love it. It's great.
Okay.
I can't do anything.
Start off after ethical thing. We started laughing, and we just nobody could hear anything after that.
Not a problem. Since I cannot afford to miss another day at work, blah, 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 I ask that your office please do the ethical thing here and dismiss this charge rather than inconvenience me in an unjust way.
I just can't get enough of that ethical. Your office should do the ethical thing part.
All right.
Right.
Keep going.
The closing sentence is this something your office is willing to do? Thank you, Steve. So went a week. I wrote another email because there was no reply. Can you please address the email below that I sent you a week ago? And then I got a response. It said, Mr. Gray, I am looking into this matter and will contact you once I have all the information in front of me. Another week went by. Nothing. Hello, Ms. Walker. Thank you for looking into this matter. I will look forward to hearing from you soon. Another week. Can you please advise as to the date on which you will be able to address the matter? And then eventually I get this reply. Hello, Mr. Gray. I have now had the opportunity to investigate this matter. I will make arrangements to have the charge brought forward and withdrawn, as there is no reasonable prospect of conviction.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, I was shocked, totally shocked. Your ticket date has now been filed, blah, 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 for such and such date. You will not have to attend court on this date. I will notify you by way of an email once the charge has been withdrawn. Thank you for bringing this matter to my attention. Shocking.
Lucky smokes. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. Sometimes you get lucky.
I still can't believe it. And I'll get to my question in a second, but I wrote one last follow-up email. Because it felt only like a semi-victory, because, yeah, it's great, but all
you still wasted 3 hours of your time,
exactly,
plus all the time you spent doing the emails and all that.
Well, I wrote again. I wrote, hello, Ms. Walker. First, thank you very much for making arrangements to have the charge brought forward and withdrawn. I do appreciate this, and I think this is the just thing for you to do. However, I would like to make a suggestion for future cases that are similar to mine. Ethically, your office should really be doing this without the accused person having to do research and find you. Truly, your prosecutor should have dropped this in the courtroom once it became clear that there was going to be an obscene delay. I'm able to communicate well. I'm not elderly or new to the English language. However, many Toronto drivers are not as capable as I am, and it pains me to think that these very people, if ever placed in the same situation that I was, are probably going to have to show up in court and pay. In the marketplace, yes, the following practice is true. The stronger and more qualified generally do better than others. But justice is supposed to be blind to these things, and your office has proven to me that it isn't. I would greatly appreciate it if you would look into correcting this.
Well, I think that's great. I hope that she doesn't change her mind all of a sudden.
I tried to be respectful. I said, and regardless, I thank you again for having my charge withdrawn. So I did try and be polite and respectful, but I never heard back again.
Well, I think that this is it. This is the turning point, and government bureaucracies will now at least
start to be ethical from now on.
That's right. It's my one lowly email that changed their minds forever.
Listen to reason. They'll they'll respond in a timely fashion. It's a new era.
Well, when you're being robbed by some criminal in the streets, and they're trying to take your money from you, it doesn't hurt to ask hey, just give me the wallet back.
Right.
Just take the cash, man.
Right.
I'm gonna call and cancel the credit card. Just take the cash. Give me the wallet back. Maybe the criminal will grant you that.
At least give me my Starbucks card back.
Yep. I think it was great that you sent this email, and it's fabulous that it turned out well for you.
I'm wondering, what do you think would possibly be the motivation for this person to have dropped the charge? I still can't figure it out.
And what was the charge originally? I've forgotten.
It was just rolling through a stop sign.
Well, she did say that she didn't believe it could be proven, right?
Yeah, but that never stops them. They'll go anyway and hope it'll just waste my time.
But how many people challenge stop sign tickets? How many people have you ever known that have challenged a stop sign ticket?
My thought on this was it was probably more trouble for her to look through and find out what the evidence was on your case than it was for her to drop your case. So she thought to herself, whatever. If I put this in the
this guy's trouble.
If I put this in the dropped file, no big deal.
Well, right.
What do we lose?
Well,
yeah,
look,
but you know what would have been easier, which for her just to not reply. I mean.
Yeah, that's true. But remember, you are dealing with bullies here. You're dealing with people that are willing to wield the force of the state, wield violence over people, and bullies tend to act in very similar manner. In a very similar manner. They look for the easy marks. They look for the easy victims, the kids that are the pushovers.
Right.
And if you even look like you are going to be a challenge, and that's what you look like, you basically let them know, hey, I am challenging this, and I am willing to take this all the way, but I don't appreciate you guys screwing around with all the court dates and everything.
Yep.
She basically looked at that and said, don't want to deal with this guy, and flushed it. So
right.
Because what they're used to doing is just sending out the traffic tickets and having people pay them, and that's it. And the fact that you were going to take up their time in a courtroom trial was probably more than enough reason for them to just let it go.
Or, you tickled her humanity on this one, or what for whatever reason.
But it's possible.
Characterizing them as bullies is... in some ways true, but it's short-sighted in the sense that these are real people who some are doing bullying things, and you can reason with bullies too.
Good call tonight, dude, and thanks for the update. I appreciate it, and let us know if anything else develops, because it's not over yet. She still hasn't sent the final email. More on the way. You take control. Free Talk Live.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com. Or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and FreeTalkLive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
It's your show. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, they're completely free. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Features including updates. Get signed up. We'll keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just go to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list for free. That's updates.freetalklive.com. In fact, sent out an update a few days back about the auction, banner auction going on right now at auction.freetalklive.com. You could win the fourth banner on the website for an entire month. And I think it's currently at $66. So if you want to get in on that, you can advertise virtually anything. Auction.freetalklive.com. So secession is still in the news, which I think is absolutely fantastic. There was an incredibly lengthy article in this week's the Wall Street Journal. It's way too long to read on the air, but very positive from my skimming of it. Basically laying out all these various different secessionist movements here in America and talking fairly positive in fairly positive terms toward the idea. So I think it's great, and I think that this is a discussion that needs to be had, that people need to continue talking about secession. The more that we talk about it with our friends and our family, the more they will talk about it with their associates, and more people will get that conversation going, and more people will come to the conclusion, as I believe all of us on this program have, that the hell do we need the federal government for anyway? Really? So thanks to the Wall Street Journal and everybody else that has been continuing to keep secession in the conversation. It's appeared out of nowhere within the last 6 months.
Yeah,
I would say secession has become a topic du jour, if you will.
I think some people are fed up with the fact. I mean, the pace at which Washington is centralizing power, it does seem to be quickening to some extent. It's nothing new. But I think a lot of people feel as if, we're sort of at a turning point where we're either going to get a really big centralized government or we need to do something drastically different. And they're correct.
Unfortunately, though, when you do talk about secession with people, frequently what you'll hear is fear. You'll hear them express how frightened they are of violence that they believe that will erupt from any sort of secessionist movement, that the federal government, in their belief, in their mind, will essentially crush with violent force anyone who tries to secede. And I don't know if there's any truth to that, and I don't think that fear of that possibility should keep people from going about the process. As long as they don't fire on the fort, as you were talking about earlier, Mark, as long as the secessionists stay completely peaceful, then if the federal government does decide to get violent, all that will do is completely will just obliterate whatever sense of legitimacy, or at least a good portion of the sense of legitimacy that they had in people's minds,
right,
because they will be seen as the violent people, whereas the secessionists will be seen as the victims.
And this is something I can't stress enough. Having come, you know, from the sort of libertarian standpoint, the idea is that you can, you know, you can use force legitimately against somebody who initiates force against you. And so, therefore, it would be legitimate to use force to prevent the federal government from trying to take back your state or whatever. If you show your – then libertarians like guns. They're gun-polishing types. They mm-hmm. have them. They enjoy them. And I can't say that I don't think that they're pretty cool myself. But
not all liberty-minded people, but it's pretty popular.
It's pretty popular. And it's – That's bad news, you know, going to rallies with guns, showing your guns, you know, letting these people know that if they mess with us too much, we're going to shoot them.
Well, okay, well, wait a minute. I think there's a difference between showing your guns and actually agitating and rattling a saber or basically saying we're going to shoot if you attack us.
I don't, and here's why.
Okay.
The federal government is going to get that first shot fired situation. It's not going to be if they want it, and they probably will want it.
They'll plant somebody in Agent Provocateur.
Yeah, they like Agent Provocateurs, and it seems to me that they'll be able to make a pretty good case in the press, and that's the only place that the case matters, is in the press at the time, if they can show some pictures of Free Staters with their Gadsden flags, their AK-47s strapped over their shoulders, their pistols on their hips, and, you know, rallying, raising their fists in freedom and that kind of thing. I think that that's bad news. And
so you're saying
it seems to me that it would legitimize whatever story they made up about you know, child porn and you know, violence and whoever got hurt or whatever.
So you're saying that liberty-oriented people should no longer open carry? Is that what you're saying?
I'm only making a suggestion here. Like, this is what I think, and I think that that the liberty movement is best served through peace, and guns aren't a symbol of peace.
I got two big
gun-supporting guys in the room here.
I mean, I have to say, I think that any movement, particularly whether it's towards liberty in general or secession in particular, the movement should be peaceful. I don't think that you should resort to guns if we get to the point where a state is seceding and there's some contention with the federal government. I certainly wouldn't suggest going to your guns. But I'm not going to suggest that if the federal government decided they were going to come into the state and start rounding people up for treason or terrorism or whatever charges they'd throw at you, I wouldn't suggest non-resistance if they are actually coming for you. Because
you wouldn't suggest non-resistance?
I wouldn't suggest passive resistance, because if they're arresting, you know, secessionist-type people, like a state's declared independence, there's a very good chance you're going to spend the rest of your life in a jail cell. And I don't...
La Peltier, Indian guy that was involved in the Black Hills uprising from the late 70s or whatever. I mean, he's still in jail, I believe.
Yeah. You're going to be charged with something... In my opinion, you would probably be charged with something roughly like a terrorism charge, even if you're being nonviolent, or more likely some kind of treason charge. I mean, if the government's going to make the claim that you're illegally trying to dissolve the union, you're probably facing a punishment pretty equivalent to death anyway.
So, well, I'm not
advocating violence to achieve secession, but if they do start coming in and rounding up peaceful people and you know, throwing them in camps, I'm not going to advocate non-resistance to that either.
This is such a tough place for me to be, because I feel like I am in agreement with both of you, and I come from that perspective of, well, you need to defend yourself if you're attacked, and the state is no different from any other attacker. But of course, the state is different. The state is different. I mean, yes, they are criminals. Yes, what they're doing is violence. Yes, what they're doing is wrong. And yes, you do morally have the right to defend yourself. I think that you
are. I'm not arguing against
that. But you're
going
to take your moral victory to your grave. That's the problem here. So if you do fight back, then you're pretty much assured to perish relatively quickly. And I just don't know. There was a discussion actually about this on the Free Keen Forum recently about, well, what would have happened in the American Revolution had the revolutionaries not actually used violence against the UK.
Understood, and it's legitimate, but you have to be willing to change with the times, and the times people aren't used to violence. People get their meat in little styrofoam packages with clear cellophane over it. They don't go out and slaughter cows. If you can use the camera, the new gun, to show the violence of the government and not legitimize that violence in any way, then I think you've really got something going on. I think that the new revolutions, it seems to me, are fought on the internet through video and Twitter.
I agree.
Like Tibet? They've been trying nonviolence for 50 years.
What is Tibet doing to, I mean, besides the ruler of Tibet's wandering around, but I don't think Tibet's actually doing
anything. They had significant protests in Tibet last year.
Yeah, because
people were rounded
election.
Up and beaten.
Okay.
Some were probably shot. It's Tibet, but they're still ruled by China. Yeah.
China's not going anywhere on Tibet either, and you know they're going to have to stand. I'm not saying that peaceful revolution is going to work in every instance, but I think the United States is a better place to do it.
It's certainly stick with nonviolence as much as it is possible.
More on the way here. 800-259-9231. What are your thoughts on secession? Should it stay peaceful? It's Free Talk Live.
Get on the ground, mother! You and your spouse are going to jail and your kids are going to Child Protective Services. You're busted for possession of marijuana.
Possession of marijuana. Possession of marijuana.
Hi, I'm Barry Cooper, ex-narcotics officer trained by the DEA. My DVD, Never Get Busted, has recently received world attention. I've switched sides, and I'm now touring America with the message to end this war on people that has been labeled the war on drugs.
Go to Barry's website, NeverGetBusted.com, and order your DVD to Never Get Busted.
On it, I'll teach you secret drug enforcement tactics and how to avoid narcotics profiling, how to conceal your stash,
and I'll teach you how to fool drug dogs every time.
I'll teach you how police know when you're lying. You'll get to go on patrol with me and watch actual marijuana arrest on the highway and learn the mistakes citizens made that landed them in jail.
Go to NeverGetBusted.com and arm yourself with the information you need so you'll never have to hear these words.
Get on the ground, mother! You and your spouse are going to jail and your kids are going
Log
to jail.
Log on to NeverGetBusted.com.
Have you heard about American Free Press? American Free Press, the only national newspaper that endorsed Ron Paul for president. American Free Press, written by patriots for patriots. Standing firm for our Constitution. Standing firm against the New World Order. Hammering the enemies of freedom. Exposing the intrigues of the global elite. American Free Press hits the Bilderbergers and Trilateralists and the whole Council on Foreign Relations gang head on. Here's your chance to catch up with the news from American Free Press. Get a free subscription to our online newsletter. Just go to our website and sign up. The address is simple, AmericanFreePress.net. It's just like it sounds, AmericanFreePress, all one word, .net. Once again, that's AmericanFreePress.net. American Free Press, the voice of the Second American Revolution.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $40. $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MAINEMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
This is Alex Jones for American Tax Settlement. We have received news that the IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements on back taxes, and millions of consumers may be eligible for this reduction to save thousands of dollars. If any of you out there owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, we have created an open phone line with American Tax Settlement. For all Alex Jones listeners to see if you qualify for a settlement with the IRS to save thousands, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. Millions of taxpayers now may be eligible for this settlement to save thousands of dollars. Don't risk the IRS coming after you and garnishing your wages or seizing your property. American Tax Settlement specializes in negotiating with the IRS on your behalf, keeping the IRS off your back and saving consumers millions of dollars. If you owe $10,000 or more in taxes to the IRS, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. That's 1-800-506-5904. Call today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind via the toll-free number 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Tonight it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features, they are free. And if you like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link. Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. We, of course, were talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano at the beginning of the show about his brand new book, Dred Scott's Revenge. You can pick that up, of course, at amazon.freetalklive.com, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. Again, amazon.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Jeremy in Wisconsin. Jeremy in Rhode Island, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Jeremy. Jeremy, Rhode Island, going once. Jeremy is gone. All right. Well, what we were talking about and what Jeremy was going to comment on, from my understanding, was we're talking about secession and whether or not it can be done with or without violence. Mark, you and myself are taking the peaceful route. Nick, you're talking about...
Well, I want to make it clear that I think it can and should be done without violence.
But what the scenario was that you'd come up with was if New Hampshire or some other state does manage to successfully secede, so from a political perspective, go through whatever process to tell the federal government, hey, we're done with you, then the federal government comes in, your suggestion was that if they're beginning to round people up and that sort of thing and hurt folks that are in the state that seceded, that at that point it's okay in your mind to use violence on those people, right?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it would be a very difficult position to be in because obviously
unenviable.
Right. Yeah. Obviously you wouldn't know. I mean, it's a hypothetical situation, but let's say it did pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that the federal, I actually think it's somewhat unlikely that if you had a state where the majority of people were pushing for secession, which I'm sure would have to be the case to actually see a state secede from the union.
Yeah.
I find it difficult to believe that if that state is being peaceful up until that point, you're just going to have the feds sending in the military or the ATF or whoever they send in to just start beating people and arresting people.
I agree with you.
I think that's unlikely. I don't think that's the age we live in anymore.
But that's what people believe will happen. I agree with you. I think it's unlikely because of what Mark was talking about, because we have cameras, because we have the ability to communicate unlike they did back in the 1800s. Things are completely different today, and I think that you're right. I think they would leave whatever state decides to secede first alone, because if they get violent, then it just makes them look that much worse to the rest of the people in the country. And I think you're completely justified in defending yourself in those situations. I just don't know if that will lead to anything really positive in the long run. It's hard for me to get behind that because, like Mark said, they're prepared for that. They're ready to handle people that are violent with them. That's what they're looking for. They know what to do.
They handle nonviolent people too. They arrest tens of thousands of nonviolent people for drug offenses every year. They can throw you in a cage just like the violent folks. And yeah. Nobody seems to care that they're doing that, by the way. They've been doing it for decades. Some do. And
People don't look at pot smokers or drug users as civil disobedience or nonviolent people. They look at them as the dregs of society that must be kept off the street.
I'm not sure that they would view secessionists as any different.
I think they do. Secessionists will be getting up and giving speeches. You won't be seeing that from the pot smokers. They just won't do it.
You might be right on that. What I'm trying to say is. Nonviolent resistance might work. It might produce what you're looking for. I think it's a difficult position to be in because you don't know if they're planning on rounding you up and putting you in jail for a year or a week or the rest of your life.
Right. You have to go into it with the attitude like Sam had. Sam Dudson, our co-host on, Thursday nights maybe?
No, that's Dale on Thursdays.
Friday sometimes. Sometimes
when we can get him in.
Sometime co-host on here on the show who just recently got out of jail for refusing to give his name, so enacting his right to remain silent and his right to film in a court lobby, the freedom of the press. He went into this saying, I'm going to ride this baby to the end, and he did, and it looks like he has a case in court that is going to, really amount to something. He's got some good legs to stand on this one, but
what's that have to do with
secession?
He was saying that they're going to take people and throw them in, and you don't know whether or not you don't know how long you're going to go, and you've got to be prepared if you're going to go.
I don't want to diminish what Sam is doing at all, but I've asked him what the maximum amount of time he's looking at if things go worst case scenario,
yep.
And he knows, I think he said 3 years at worst. So he knows he's not going to spend any more than 3 years in jail. And to a large extent, he chose to take that route. He could get out of it probably at any point if he decided to say, give them a deal, I'll plead guilty, make it go away.
Yeah.
But when you're being rounded up for simply expressing your ideas or voting, and you're facing an indeterminate period of detention, I think a government that is willing to go to those lengths where they're rounding people up wholesale, it's a more dangerous situation to be in, and you're probably facing serious oppression as opposed to...
You're going to be... I think, either you're going to face oppression or you're not. And I do know what we're going to get if we continue to do what we have done with the government up to this point.
More oppression?
We're just going to get steady growth of the government until finally, they're taking all of our money and they look like a combination of North Korea and Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be pretty and, we're going to get more of what we've gotten. When it comes to secession, it's an idea, and maybe we won't have to secede. Maybe the federal government will implode under its own weight due to the, overprinting of Federal Reserve notes and, stuff with China. And, the financial situation looks really crappy. That's the best case scenario, but if you're coming down to secession, you're at a point where you've got to kind of throw in and say, this is the best I can hope for.
Yeah, I think if we get to the point where secession is a reality or is even a probability, something that's reasonable to expect in the near term future, which I don't believe it is at the moment, I think to get the people in a particular state or people in America in general to want to sever their ties with the federal government, it's going to require either a change in ideas, so people are going to have to become a lot more opposed to government and in favor of personal liberty, or the government is going to have to become significantly more tyrannical without people really changing their ideas very much. So in either one of those situations, I think you've reached a point where drawing a line in the sand is not as suicidal as it is today. I mean, you'd likely be dealing with a nation state that's already in its death throes once states start breaking off, and they're probably not going to be able to pay members of the military, let alone suppress, states that want to break off. I think that's a lot more likely.
Well, okay, and if that's all true, and it may very well be, then that would mean that it would be that much more difficult for them to pay to keep you in a jail cell if you were doing peaceful, nonviolent resistance, or not resistance, but non-cooperation and things like that. If you had a mass movement of non-cooperation, you would already have a lot of people on your side because you were in a secession movement that had already gotten to the point of seceding, and you would still, if they did arrest you or round you up, then there's still a chance that maybe it would be 7 months or 7 years later that you'd be able to get out and walk out and go to the place that seceded at that point. Whereas if you are violent in response, then there is a very good chance you're just going to be snuffed out, and then you'll have 0% chance of ever seeing the light of day again in this lifetime.
I would agree. I think in many circumstances, nonviolent resistance is a far better idea because you can live. If you win, you can live to enjoy the result. Right.
That's the point that I want
to read.
Because if you have to work in a group, otherwise you're just a nut, right? Just like us three in this room talking about secession in New Hampshire, and they have no intention of seceding. You're just a fringe lunatic. Therefore you have to deal with people. You have to deal with those people either from the point of view that we do not accept violence in any way, shape, or form, or you deal with them from the point of, you got the right to keep and bear arms, brother, hallelujah, let's go and break off. Like, that kind of conversation is going to, you know, bring about feelings in other people, and, you know, it's going to attract a certain type of person to your movement, and it's going to bring about feelings in the people that are in the movement, and those feelings could be, I got the right to keep and bear arms, federal government's coming here and initiating force on me, and I'll take care of that. And at which point you've got the guy who's firing on the fort, and you didn't do it. And then you're dealing with, your group is dealing with the situation of the guy firing on the fort. And that's far worse to me, from my mind, than, trying to, dealing with whatever problems might come from complete pacifism. There's going to be problems either way.
Right, because not everybody's going to be
advocating, and you don't even get secession. Just advocating for secession, which is, to me, the only solution.
I think there's a clear difference for a rational person between blowing up a federal building, say, which would be firing on the fort, and defending yourself in your home from what could very well be some kind of a gulag or a death camp.
You don't get the choice of death camps. We've got story after story of guys that the government has come to get that either decide that they're going to fire or not decide, and they don't know ahead of time whether they're going to get taken away.
It's a difficult choice, and one I hope we never have to make.
Hour 3 is coming up. You dial in. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.